Can a man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? These words are found in Jeremiah 23 and verse 24. I repeat them. Give attention to what the Lord says. These are the words of the Lord. Can a man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Man has had a history of trying to hide himself from the Lord. But has he been successful to seek to conceal himself from God as to where he is? Tell me, has man been able to hide from God what he has done? You know that he has not been able to do this. Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord. In other words, the Lord, the God with whom you and I have to do, is omnipresent. That is, he is everywhere. God is a spirit. He is also omniscient. That is, he knows all that goes on. And furthermore, he sees all that transpires. The scriptures declare that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Another scripture, this one in Hebrews, says, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now the first man, Adam, the first man in this world, the man created by God, Adam and his wife, they both tried to hide themselves from God. In Genesis 3, we read that in the garden, in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. This is the inspired record of their effort to get away from God. Now, what caused them to run away from God? Very simply, dear friend, they had sinned. Do you know what their sin was? It wasn't murder. It wasn't fornication. It wasn't drunkenness. It was simply disobedience to the word of the Lord. Do you think of sin as being disobedience to God? Well, I'll tell you it is. Disobedience is a sin that brought sin into the world and death by sin. They partook of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when God told them for their own good that they should not do so. And he also revealed the penalty that they would have to pay if they disobeyed him. He said, thou shalt surely die. Now, by their disobedience, they found out by experience what good and evil was. And by this sin of disobedience, the seeds of death were implanted in them, and by them into the entire human family of which you and I are a part. They knew they did wrong. They had a guilt complex. And this produced fear, and it opened their eyes to see what they had done. This is what made them run away. They ran away and tried to hide themselves from God. They were not happy in the presence of the Lord because they were guilty of sinning against him. How about you, my dear listening friend? Let me ask you, are you happy in the presence of God? Do you know God? Do you know him as a Savior God? Do you know him as the one who knows your sin and as the one who has forgiven your sin? Or are you still hiding from him? Now, God knows where you are. Don't forget, Jeremiah says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Perhaps you too are hiding amongst some pleasant trees of your garden of tranquil circumstances. It was a very pleasant place, the Garden of Eden. It was a place of great blessing. God had provided everything needful for them, all that they would ever need, and for their enjoyment was found in that garden. And the God who gives us these wonderful blessings that you and I have, we take them, we enjoy them. And yet, however, Sometimes, you know, we receive his blessings, and we ignore him, the giver of these blessings. Is this true of you? It was really true here, as in picture of Adam and Eve. They were hiding amongst the trees. They were getting benefits of God's blessings of the trees, and yet they were running away from him. Is this so with you? I repeat, I ask in all earnestness and tenderness, are you a recipient of the blessings and comforts, and you enjoy life, and yet you're hiding away from God, the life giver? Yet, dear friend, let me tell you, he wants you. And just as he called Adam, he is calling you. He said, Adam, where art thou? It wasn't that he didn't know, but he wanted Adam to realize where he was and where his sin had taken him. Are you hiding away from God? Are you not trying to think of God? You're enjoying life as it is. I tell you, dear friend, this life is going to come to an end, and you have the seeds of death implanted in you. Every breath that you take is hastening you into eternity. You're going to meet God. And unless you're brought out of your hiding place and meet him now in your sins and receive the provision he has made, you'll be banished from his presence forever. How grand it is to see how the Lord works to bring blessing to souls. He sought to question them. He had to get from them, and he did succeed. A confession. They said, both of them, I did eat. And dear friend, confession to God about our actual condition, of our sinnership, what we have done, as he knows it, confession to him is the gateway to our blessing. It was then that God made coats of skin, and he clothed them from their nakedness. And he gave them a fitness in this respect for his presence. We have a beautiful picture here of how the fugitive is made fit for the presence of God. Grace comes in. Grace is what you need and what I need and what we may have and what God has provided. He slew an animal, and in this we see a picture of Christ being slain that we might be covered with righteousness, have our sins forgiven, and be made fit for fellowship with God again. This is the picture. But I turn to the next chapter for another fugitive. In verse 16 we read, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden, and he builded a city. He builded a city. He ran away from the Lord. Here again, it was because of guilt and an unwillingness to face up to the guilt and to take what the Lord had offered him. Because as soon as he had slain Abel, the Lord came to Cain, and he told him that if he would do well, there was a sin offering lying at his door. The doing well would be simply to change his mind in repentance about what he had done, to confess what he had done, and to take the provision of a sin offering which Abel, his brother, had taken and been blessed by. Abel had acted by faith. Both boys had received the same instruction. They knew what had happened in the garden. God had wrought on behalf of their parents, and their parents had told them, there's no question about it, because Abel, by faith, approached God in God's appointed way by the way of sacrifice. Cain ignored that, and ignoring God's sacrifice, he was ignoring his own sinful condition. And what happened when he saw that Abel's offering was accepted by God and his was rejected? He, in a rage, slew his brother Abel. He had toiled very arduously, no doubt, to produce fruit, but it was fruit from a cursed ground. It could not be acceptable to God. There was no blood in it. Dear friend, no matter what works you may do, how good you might seek to prepare yourself and prepare things that you do and think, well, that God's going to accept you, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It must be according to grace and mercy, and on God's basis. His requirements is a sacrifice of blood. And that blood sacrifice is seen in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has already provided. Abel, living way back there 4,000 years before Christ came, believed the promise of the coming Redeemer who would give his life for the sinner. And in Abel offering that firstling of the flock, by faith he was looking on to the one who would to come, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. He was confessing, as he offered this sacrifice, that he needed a sacrifice for his sin, and he was laying hold by faith on the one who was to come. Cain, on the other hand, he was a religious person. Yes, he was. He was a religious sinner. He was a religious murderer. But he hid himself from the presence of God. And you know where he went? He went into the city. How many there are today who seek to drown themselves away from God's presence in the activity of the city. The city speaks of activity. It speaks of fellowship. There was a great civilization there that was in Cain's day, unquestionably. And he wanted a society, a great society, a great fellowship, a lot of friends, but he did not want God. Are you like that? Perhaps you know people who are like that. I suppose that Cain was a very friendly type of person. I have no question, but if you could talk to him, you would find that he would be very conversant upon the problems of the day, the politics of the city. He would be very glad to talk about the weather and the cost of living problems and the pollution problem. And no doubt he would even be able to discuss and be willing to discuss the various religions of the day. But if you mention Christ and his claim, I'm sure he'd have nothing to say. In fact, he would turn away undoubtedly again in a rage. Do you know any people like that? How many there are today who are like Cain, who have gone in the way of Cain, have hidden themselves from the presence of the Lord, trying to drown out the very thoughts of God by the ceaseless activities of all that is in the city and what the city stands for. Oh, dear friend, where are you hiding? Look, you're going to meet God someday. He would draw you from your hiding place now. Won't you allow him to do so? I would ask that you turn to consider with me the one that we read of in Scripture who did not hide himself. In Isaiah 50, we read in verse 6, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The words of the prophet Isaiah unquestionably speak of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his rejection by men in order to make redemption for man. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Everyone acquainted with the New Testament will recognize here the prophecy predicting the Lord's treatment at the hands of men. We read of it in the Gospels, when they spit upon him, when they smote him on the head and on the face with a rod. But this is why he came. He came to be the Savior, to be the substitute. He's the one who came to do the Father's will. And that will led him to the cross, to offer his life as a sacrifice for sinners, that he might draw men out of their hiding places of sin and draw them to himself. In contrast to men generally, he was one here who, morning by morning, wakened to be directed by the word of the Lord. And he said, The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. What a contrast he was as the perfect man, the man Christ Jesus, to Adam and Eve, and to Cain, and in fact to every other man ever born into this world of sinful parents. The Lord was the perfect, obedient one, the holy one who knew no sin. And when the hour appointed for which he had come had arrived, he allowed himself to be taken by wicked hands. And we read that verse 6 was fulfilled, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. The Lord allowed himself to be cruelly treated, to be rejected of men, to be taken and nailed to the cross of Calvary. He set his face like a flint, we read in verse 7. He came to do the Father's will. All the suffering that he knew entailed by following that path of obedience to the cross did not deter him. It did not turn him back. He did not turn away back. And beloved friend, he went to the cross that you might have a hiding place. In Psalm 32, we read of one who realized his need of a hiding place. David had sinned grievously. He tried for a while to cover up his sin, but yet finally the pressure of guilt bore upon him. And he said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. God was seeking to reach him, make him feel his need, what his hiding away from God was bringing upon him. Have you had any experience like that? Are you hiding from God? Are you seeking to cover your sins? Friend, the sooner that you give up to God, to surrender to him, the better it's going to be for you. Just as David found out, as he goes on to say, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. In Proverbs we read, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. And this we see experienced here by David. I said, he goes on, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Can you say that? You may. There is a hiding place for you. A man shall be a hiding place from the tempest, we read, a covert from the storm, rivers of water in a dry place. And it's the man, Christ Jesus. The psalmist looked forward to that man. In verse 7, he says, thou art my hiding place. Can you say that? There are people who are hiding away from God. I trust if you are, that you will realize at this moment. But then I would ask that you would seriously consider your great need of hiding in God. Oh, don't hide from him any longer. Thou art my hiding place, says David. The one who confessed his sin to God could say, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed or happy, you'll never know happiness as you are hiding from God. Happiness now and forever is found only in the knowledge of the forgiveness of your sins and in a relationship with the Savior God. And this he wants to bring you into. Thou art my hiding place. He's a precious hiding place. Will you not come to him? God grant that you will. If you don't, I will warn you that a day is coming of which we read in Revelation 6. The day of the Lord's judgments will come. And we read that there will be men of all walks of life, kings and captains, rich men, poor men, free men, bondmen. They'll say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Friend, this is a solemn, true picture of what will take place for those who continue to hide themselves from Christ now in the day of grace. There's coming a day when you'll want to be hidden from him, but you'll be exposed. You're going to be drawn from your hiding place if not now, in grace and no forgiveness, you're going to be drawn forth in judgment and find banishment from his presence forever. Oh, God, grant that today you will no longer hide from God. Come to the Lord Jesus just as you are and find him as your hiding place.